Hey everyone, ready to dive into something kind of mind-blowing?
I think this one's going to resonate with a lot of people.
I think so too. It's all about working LS, but earning more.
That's right.
Now I know what you're thinking. Yeah, right. Sounds like another internet gimmick.
I had the same thought initially, but
yeah.
The sources you sent, they're onto something here.
Absolutely. No magic tricks or overnight riches. Just really smart strategies that honestly anyone can use.
The core idea is about understanding the real value of your time. Something we don't always do, right?
Totally. We get so caught up in the hustle that we forget to ask, is this even getting me where I want to go?
Exactly.
That's where the sources introduce this concept of productive versus non-productive time.
And it's not about labeling tasks as good or bad, which is what I initially thought.
Yeah, it's way more nuanced than that.
For sure.
It's really about identifying what's directly making me money. And what's important, but not directly bringing in the cash.
Perfect example.
Think about it. You land a client project. That's productive time, right?
Well, definitely.
It's money-making time. But you've got emails piling up, scheduling nightmares, maybe even learning new software, all essential.
But not directly putting those dollars in your pocket.
Right. And the sources argue that a lot of us, maybe even most of us, are spending way too much time in that second category.
The non-productive zone.
It's like a hidden time leak. You think you're working hard, but are you working on the right things?
That's the key question.
The million-dollar question, for sure. And the cool thing is, the sources don't just leave you hanging with that question. They actually provide a simple, actionable method for tracking your time.
Yeah, it's so straightforward. I was expecting some complex system, but it's basically a daily log.
Exactly. Nothing fancy. Just break your day into blocks, write down what you did, then categorize it. Was it making you money or was it something else?
And that's where the insights start popping up.
You start seeing patterns you never noticed before.
And I'm willing to bet most people would be surprised by the results, how much of their week is actually productive.
It's like, wait, I spent that much time on what?
Once you see it laid out like that, though, you can make different choices.
You can start to shift that balance.
Exactly. And that's where the magic of working less but earning more starts to happen.
So let's get down to the nitty-gritty. The sources break down all these productive activities that are like fuel for your income.
Right.
The obvious ones are client work, closing deals, creating those awesome products you offer, the stuff that pays the bills.
Of course.
But there's more. The sources also talk about upskilling, but not just any upskilling.
This is where it gets strategic, right?
Yeah. It's about identifying those skills that will actually command higher rates in the future.
It's an investment, not just a way to fill time.
Exactly. Like, instead of just taking any random online course, you're choosing the ones that will make you more valuable.
Exactly. You're boosting your market value.
Makes sense, right?
Totally. And the sources highlight other activities too, like strategic marketing.
Right. Building systems to streamline your workflow, even networking.
It's about creating a multiplier effect, where the work you do today keeps generating income, even when you're not actively working.
There was this one example in the sources that really stuck with me. A woman named Maria. Have you had a chance to read that part?
Oh, yeah. Maria's story was pretty eye-opening. Really makes you think.
She was working like crazy, like 50 hours a week.
Wow.
But when she actually tracked her time, she found that only about 20 of those hours were truly productive.
That's a huge difference.
I know. It's like, where did the other 30 hours go? And it wasn't like she was slacking off or anything.
That's
she was doing important tasks, but
not the ones that were directly generating income.
Yeah. Things like admin work, answering routine emails, all those things that feel urgent, but
they're not actually moving the income needle.
Right. And the sources point out how by delegating some of those tasks or even automating them,
she was able to free up a ton of time.
And that's where the shift happened.
It wasn't about working harder. It was about working smarter.
Exactly. And by focusing on those key productive hours, she boosted her income without adding more hours to her week.
Incredible, right?
It's a reminder that even small changes in how we use our time can have huge GE impacts on our results.
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, so we've talked about all that productive time, but now let's flip the script and talk about non-productive time.
I feel like non-productive time always gets a bad rap.
Yeah, like it's the enemy of productivity.
Right, but here's where the sources get really interesting. They actually argue that it's not about eliminating this type of time.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's about using it strategically to actually enhance your productive time.
Like that saying, sharpen the saw.
Exactly.
You can keep hacking away with a dull blade, but taking the time to sharpen it. Way more efficient in the long run.
I love that analogy. And the sources break down the key benefits of this non-productive time. Things like preparation.
Planning.
Even resting. All those things that don't directly bring in cash.
But they're crucial for keeping your energy up.
And setting you up for success in those productive hours.
So how do we make the most of this time? Because it's easy to just be busy during non-productive time without being intentional.
So true. It's not about filling the time. It's about filling it with the right things. And the sources give us some great suggestions. First up is skill building. But again, not just random learning. It's about strategically choosing skills that will increase your earning potential.
Like instead of binge watching another show, you could be taking that online course that'll help you charge higher rates.
Exactly. Or let you offer new services.
Turning that non-productive time into an investment.
I like that.
An investment in your future.
Absolutely. And another big one, planning and strategizing.
Ugh, planning.
I know. I know. It can feel a bit. But think about it. So many of us are caught in the daily whirlwind that we forget to step back and see the bigger picture.
It's working in your business versus on your business.
That's the perfect way to put it.
Right.
This non-productive time is where you zoom out, set goals, map out your strategy.
Make sure you're actually moving in the right direction.
Precisely.
And what about things like networking or building relationships?
Ah, that's a good one. It might not feel productive in the moment because it's not directly bringing in dollars.
But it's about nurturing those connections that could lead to collaborations later on.
Or partnerships. Even just unexpected opportunities down the line.
It's like planting seeds, right?
Exactly. And let's not forget, the sources also talk about rest and recovery.
Oh yeah, this is a big one.
I think we all feel guilty about taking breaks, especially when there's always more to do.
Always.
But burnout is real. And it's counterproductive. You can't run on empty forever.
You got to recharge those batteries.
You got it.
Okay, so we've kind of redefined non-productive time as this valuable resource. But how do we actually shift those hours into something more income generating? Because that's the ultimate goal, right?
Right. And the sources give us a roadmap for this transition. It starts with identifying those low-value activities that are sucking up your time. What are the things that make you feel busy but not actually accomplished?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Like endlessly scrolling social media.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Getting lost in an email black hole.
Or doing those tasks that feel productive, but aren't really moving the needle on your income goals.
Exactly. And sometimes it's not even about eliminating those activities altogether. It's about being more mindful of how much time you're spending on them.
So being realistic.
Yeah. The sources mention strategies like batching similar tasks together.
Oh, I love batching.
Setting boundaries on your time and using technology to your advantage.
Turning off those notifications. Setting specific times to check email.
Even using app blockers to prevent those mindless scrolling sessions.
I need one of those, like yesterday.
Right. Sometimes you got to fight fire with fire. Then there's the magic of delegation and automation. What are those tasks that someone else could do, or even technology could handle, freeing you up for the things that only you can do?
Ooh. Tell me more about this.
The sources have some great examples, like data entry.
Scheduling appointments.
Invoicing. Even certain aspects of customer service.
Yeah.
Those are often tasks that can be outsourced or automated.
Saving you time and mental energy.
Exactly. It all comes back to understanding the value of your time.
Right.
If your time is worth, let's say, $50 an hour, does it make sense to spend it on something someone else could do for $15 an hour?
No.
Probably not. So it's about being strategic and figuring out where you can leverage other resources. Frees you up for the high value stuff.
I'm starting to see the light here.
And once you've cleared some space by eliminating or delegating those low value tasks, it's time to prioritize the high value stuff, the real drivers of your income and growth.
This is where we shift from reactive to proactive.
Right? Yes.
Instead of just responding to whatever comes our way.
You're intentionally choosing how you spend your time on things that align with your goals.
Love that. The sources suggest some practical strategies too, like blocking out time in your calendar for those high-value tasks.
Oh yeah, time blocking is a game changer.
Treating those tasks like important meetings that can't be moved.
Because it's so easy to let those things get pushed aside when other stuff pops up, right?
All the time. But if you schedule it in, you're more likely to actually make it happen.
Exactly. And another great tip, Start your day with the hardest task.
Eat that frog.
I love that.
Right. Get it out of the way. And then the rest of your day feels so much easier.
It really does. Now, even though we're all about maximizing productive time, the sources also remind us not all non-productive time is created equal. There are ways to use this time strategically, too.
Not just vegging out on the couch.
Right. It's about being intentional. How are you using this time to recharge, to learn, to grow?
Maybe you spend a couple of hours each week learning a new skill that could boost your income.
Or use that time to plan your week.
Strategize your next move.
Build systems that'll streamline your work in the long run.
It's about making sure even your non-productive time is working for you, not against you.
That's such a powerful shift in perspective, isn't it?
It really is.
It's about seeing all of your time as a valuable resource to achieve your goals professionally and personally.
And speaking of resources, the sources also provide this awesome toolkit, like a collection of tools and techniques to help you manage your time.
Yes. The best time management hacks and resources out there. It's like they did all the research for you.
So first up, time tracking tools. I used to think these were just for freelancers billing by the hour.
Right. Who else needs to track every minute?
But the sources actually argue they can be so helpful for anyone who wants to understand where their time is actually going.
And there are so many options now, from simple apps
to full-blown software.
They help you track your time, categorize your activities, even generate reports.
You can see where you might be wasting time or could be more efficient.
It's like having a personal time detective, helping you uncover those hidden opportunities.
I love that. So you track your time, and then it's time to get organized.
Prioritize those high-value tasks.
That's where task management tools come in.
These can be lifesavers.
They help keep your to-do list under control, make sure you're focusing on the most important things.
And again, there are so many options.
It's amazing.
Some people prefer visual tools.
Kanban boards.
While others like more linear lists.
Or calendar-based systems.
The key is finding what works for you and sticking with it.
Then there's the world of automation.
Oh, yeah. This is where things get really exciting.
The sources highlight how technology can be such a powerful ally, helping us reclaim our time, streamlining our work.
It's like having a virtual assistant.
Working behind the scenes.
Taking care of all those repetitive tasks so you can focus on the things that require your unique skills.
I've been trying out some automation tools, and it's amazing how much time and mental energy it frees up.
It's like suddenly you're working smarter, not harder.
Exactly.
And that brings us to another key point from the sources. The importance of building systems.
Systems? What kind of systems?
It could be anything, really.
Give me an example.
A system for managing your email inbox. A system for onboarding new clients.
I like that.
A system for tracking your finances.
Oh, that'll be useful.
Right. The point is to create processes that streamline your work. Make it more efficient, even when you're not actively working on it.
So it's like setting up a machine that can run on autopilot.
Exactly. Investing the time up front to build these systems.
They're buying back your time later.
You're freeing yourself from those repetitive tasks.
Creating a more sustainable way of working.
I love how you put that.
That makes a lot of sense. It's about working smarter, not harder. But building systems can feel overwhelming. Like, where do you even begin?
The sources emphasize it doesn't have to be complicated.
It's good to hear.
Start small. Just choose one area of your work you want to streamline. And there are tons of resources out there to help you.
Books.
Online courses.
Templates.
Software tools.
So it's about taking it one step at a time.
And finding what works for you. Because what works for one person might not work for someone else.
Right. It's about finding what fits your needs and workflow.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've talked about tracking time, delegating tasks, prioritizing, and building systems. Whew, it's a lot.
It is a lot to digest.
But the sources also talk about the long-term benefits of mastering your time. And I think this is where things get really exciting.
This is where it all comes together.
It's not just about being more productive in the short term. It's about creating a life where you have more freedom.
Yeah.
More control over your time.
A life with space for the things that truly matter to you.
Okay, paint me a picture. What does a life look like where you've mastered your time?
Imagine having more time for family, more time for relationships, more time to pursue those hobbies and passions you've put on hold.
Like taking that pottery class you've always wanted to try.
Exactly. More time to simply rest and recharge without feeling guilty.
It's like you're not constantly rushing from one thing to the next.
You actually have space to breathe. to enjoy the moment.
I love that image.
And it's not just about more free time. It's also about increasing your income without sacrificing your well-being.
Because we all want to be financially secure, but we don't want to burn ourselves out in the process.
Exactly.
By focusing on those productive hours, building systems, using delegation and automation, you can create a business or career that generates more income.
With less effort.
It's not about working harder. It's about working smarter. And it's about creating a life where you're not constantly trading your time for money.
But rather creating a system where your time works for you.
Ooh, I like the sound of that.
And this leads to the ultimate goal.
Which is?
Freedom. The freedom to choose how you spend your time.
Instead of feeling trapped by a rigid schedule.
Or an endless to-do list.
You have the power to design your days according to your values and priorities. That's a pretty amazing vision.
It is, and the sources emphasize that it's not some unattainable dream. It's something anyone can achieve with the right mindset and the right strategies.
So it's possible.
Absolutely.
And a key part of this vision is understanding the financial side of time management.
Right. We move beyond just being productive and start thinking like entrepreneurs.
Ooh, I like that.
Analyzing our time like a valuable asset that we can use to achieve our financial goals.
So it's not just about feeling less busy. It's about understanding how your time translates into real dollars and cents.
Exactly. And the sources introduce two key calculations that can really change the game for you.
Okay, I'm all ears.
They're called your total hourly rate and your productive hourly rate.
Okay, break those down for me. What are these rates? And why are they so important?
Well, your total hourly rate is how much you earn based on all the hours you work.
So it's kind of like your baseline.
Exactly.
Your current reality.
Yeah. And they give a simple formula to calculate it.
Okay.
Take your desired income for the next 12 months and divide it by the total number of hours you plan to work in a year. That gives you your total hourly rate.
Okay, let's do a little example here.
Perfect.
Let's say you want to earn $75,000 in the next year.
Okay.
And you're planning to work 50 hours a week for 50 weeks.
Okay, I'm following.
That's 2,500 hours in total. So your total hourly rate would be $75,000 divided by 2,500 hours, which comes out to $30 an hour.
Right.
So in this example, to reach that income goal, you'd need to be earning an average of $30 an hour across all those hours you work.
All those hours, including the non-productive ones.
But that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
This calculation doesn't differentiate between those high-value income-generating activities and those tasks that, well, don't really help your bottom line.
And that's where the productive hourly rate comes in.
Okay. So how's the productive hourly rate different?
Instead of looking at all the hours you work, the productive hourly rate focuses specifically on those hours when you're actually creating value and generating income.
So zooming in on the money-making hours.
Exactly. And the formula is similar. But instead of dividing your desired income by your total hours worked, you divide it by the number of hours you spend on productive activities.
Okay, got it. So let's stick with our example.
Okay.
We're still aiming for $75,000 in the next year.
Yep.
But this time, we're only focusing on the productive hours.
I like it.
Let's say you're aiming to work 20 productive hours a week. So that's 4 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Makes sense.
That's 1,000 productive hours in a year. So to hit that $75,000 income goal with only 1,000 productive hours, your productive hourly rate would need to be $75 an hour.
Boom. That's more than double the total hourly rate.
I know. It really highlights the power of focusing on those high-value activities and minimizing those time-wasting tasks.
It's a huge difference.
And it's a total mindset shift. Instead of thinking, I need to work more hours to earn more money, you start thinking, how can I make my existing hours more valuable?
That's exactly it. It's not about working harder. It's about working smarter.
Recognizing your time is a precious resource and using it intentionally.
You got it.
And this is where Maria's story becomes so helpful. Remember how she was working 50 hours a week?
Yeah.
But only about 20 of those were truly productive.
Right.
She was stuck in that cycle of being busy, but not really making progress toward her income goals.
It's a trap so many of us fall into.
I know. So let's use her as our case study. See how these calculations can play out in a real-world scenario.
Love it. Let's do it.
So let's break down Maria's situation.
Let's do it.
She wants to earn $75,000 a year.
Okay.
And she's currently working 50 hours a week for 50 weeks.
So that's 2,500 hours per year?
Right. If we plug those numbers into that total hourly rate formula, $75,000 divided by 2,500 hours,
we get a total hourly rate of $30 per hour.
Exactly. Meaning, across all those hours she's working, she needs to be earning an average of $30 an hour to hit her income goal.
But that includes all her time, productive and non-productive.
Right. The magic happens when we look at her productive hourly rate. So let's say Maria sets a goal of working 20 truly productive hours each week.
That frees up a lot of time.
It does. And if we do the math, 20 hours a week for 50 weeks.
That's 1,000 productive hours in a year.
Right. So to reach your income goal of $75,000 with only 1,000 productive hours,
her productive hourly rate needs to be
$75 an hour.
More than double her total hourly rate.
It's amazing. It shows you the power of focusing your energy where it matters most.
It's a total game changer.
It really is. Instead of thinking, I need to work more hours to earn more money, you shift your thinking to, how can I make my existing hours more valuable?
And that's where those strategies we talked about come in.
Exactly. Tracking your time, identifying those time wasters, delegating, automating, all that good stuff.
It's about working smarter, not harder.
And Maria's story shows it's possible. You don't have to be some productivity guru to make it happen.
It's about taking small steps, identifying those low-value tasks, and either get rid of them or hand them off to someone else.
Or let a computer do it for you.
Exactly. And as you start seeing those small wins, it creates this awesome feedback loop. You feel more motivated. You gain momentum.
And then you start to see the bigger picture, what's truly possible.
You start creating a life with more time for the things that matter. Family, hobbies, even just relaxing and recharging.
That's what it's all about, right?
It really is.
So I want to circle back to that question we asked earlier.
Yeah.
What could you achieve if you had an extra 10, 20, even 30 hours a week?
It makes you think, doesn't it?
What are your priorities? What are those dreams you've put on hold? What kind of life do you want to create?
And these sources we've been talking about, they give you a real roadmap.
They do. It's not about some magic formula or quick fix.
It's about taking control, valuing your time, using it intentionally to build a life that's both fulfilling and successful.
Love that. And remember, it's a journey, not a destination. There will be challenges for sure.
Ups and downs. Setbacks, that's part of the process.
But with the right mindset, the right strategies,
you can find that balance.
Working less and earning more. Creating a life you truly love.
That's the dream.
So if you're feeling overwhelmed by that never-ending to-do list or trapped in that cycle of endless work,
take a deep breath.
Remember what we've talked about today.
You have the power to change things.
You have the power to design a life that works for you.
So take those small steps today.
And see where they lead you. You might just surprise yourself.
I bet you will.
And that's a wrap on our deep dive into working less but earning more. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
See you next time.